in His Majesty's sacred service.
We are seated in the room as representative of the Church.
The role of religion in society is losing ground.
The Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva.
There is a lot of fair criticism that is directed to the United Nations.
In His Majesty's sacred service.
The delegation of the Holy See wishes to place on record its disagreement.
A podcast not only for Catholics.
If the UN were not in existence, we would have to invent it.
Here is your host, Christian Peshkin.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34, 1. And His praise will indeed be in my mouth for the next few minutes. Hello, everyone. Wherever you are, whether you wear a mask or not, preferably you do, I am Christian Peshkin, your host, and this is a new podcast entitled In His Majesty's Sacred Service. And of course, Jesus Christ is the King, His Majesty, and the diplomat of the Holy See in His service at the United Nations in Geneva. This first episode of my new program series is a sort of pilot, a short pilot to set the stage for future episodes by providing background information so you can better understand the work of the Holy See at the UN and its importance and relevancy. So I hope that this will get your attention and interest, as it is an important aspect of the mission of the Catholic Church, of Christians, in terms of humanitarian involvement and responsibility. So let's start with background information of the young man who is talking here to you. My accent probably gave me away. I am French. No, I am from Germany. I lived in the United States for almost 30 years, produced a few television flicks in Hollywood in the mid-90s with producer legend Roger Corman. And after a long journey from being a Protestant and my wife a Mormon, through the television ministry of Mother Angelica's Eternal Word Television Network, EWTN, we both professed Catholicism and were officially received into the Catholic Church in February of 2010 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at St. Stanislaus Parish. Now, fast forward. In 2014, somehow, by the grace of God and the will of God, we found ourselves in Geneva, Switzerland, where we started a very unique and never done before project, namely to report and document the work of the Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva. I was later correspondent for Vatican Radio, and later on, my wife and I became accredited correspondents at the UN Geneva for EWTN Germany. Our weekly reports were and are still broadcasted as part of the EWTN program Vaticano in English and German and published via CNA Catholic News Agency Germany. Recently, I started a stand-alone program series entitled EWTN UN Blog that broadcasts for now on EWTN Germany, and you can read it on CNA Catholic News Agency in Germany, and God willing, later via EWTN International worldwide. So this wraps up my entire life in a few minutes, which shows me again how short life is. I'm right back after this break.
You are listening to In His Majesty's Sacred Service. The Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva.
The Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva. The purpose of this program is to inform and educate you, the listener, regardless if you are Catholic, atheist, or any other. about the important but for the most part underrated work and accomplishments of the Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva. This is important, in my opinion, because it is a prime example of, as we sometimes call it, the church in the world. And there she needs to be more present and involved than in, quotes, only in the church building. If you have any commentaries and questions, please shoot me an email to paxpressagency@gmail.com. That is paxpressagency, one word, paxpressagency@gmail.com. In this first episode, I'd like to provide some background about the Holy See at the UN before we go into a concrete subject matter in the next episode. In a world where so many, too many people comment and criticize and make their voice heard even without knowing the subject they are talking about, I think we should first get ourselves a little bit familiar with the subject matter in order to better understand the mission of the Holy See and what this means, if it means anything, to Catholics and to the world. And it does mean something, as you hopefully will discover when you are listening to this podcast and those to come. So all this is meant for you to inform and educate you so that you can form a better understanding of the scope of the important work of the Holy See at the UN Geneva and about the UN in this podcast, not only for Catholics. I'm your host, Christian Peschken. Now, first of all, the Holy See is not a member of the United Nations and has never applied for membership, but was granted permanent observer status on April 6 in 1964, yes, 56 years ago. In that capacity, it has the right to attend all sessions of the United Nations, General Assembly, the United Nations Security Council, and the United Nations Economic and Social Council, to observe their work. Accordingly, the Holy See has established permanent observer missions in New York and in Geneva, and has been able to influence the decisions and recommendations of the United Nations over the years. So in this program, we are focusing on Geneva, as this is where, as they say, the music plays. In Geneva are hundreds of international organizations, such as the World Health Organization, we heard a lot about them lately, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, and of course, United Nations, Geneva. The UN Geneva is the second largest office of the UN worldwide, with over 1,500 employees and, before COVID-19, more than 8,000 meetings every year. And on a side note, the building that houses the UN Geneva is called the Palais. It's the second largest building in Europe after the Louvre in Paris. Almost half a kilometer long, actually a little longer. And I can testify to that, as our office at the United Nations was on one end of the building and the rooms in which we filmed on the other end. So it was always our week's workout to walk from one end to the other end and back, and sometimes three times a day. Okay, back to the Holy See. The Holy See at the UN is legally capable of ratifying international treaties and does ratify them, as it is invited to participate on equal footing with member states in the negotiation of most universal international lawmaking treaties held under the auspices of the United Nations. The Holy See is a negotiating party and can, and does, make substantial proposals, reject the proposals of other negotiating parties, request a vote, and even vote if the Holy See desires so. And I can say this, that it is not a daily practice for them to vote. So just to name a few treaties, the Holy See has participated in the negotiation of the 1998 Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, the 1997 Terrorist Bombing Convention, and the 2006 Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, just to name a few. And the Holy See is a state party to numerous, over hundreds, multilateral treaties starting in 1864, before the UN even was founded, and then later including all Geneva Conventions, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 2017, the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. In 2014, in an interview I produced for EWTN, we asked the permanent observer of the Holy See, back then that was His Excellency Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, by the way, the longest serving observer of the Holy See at the UN Geneva, namely 13 years. We asked him about his opinion of the United Nations.
I can say from my experience here in the UN base of Geneva that it is the role of religion in society that is losing ground to a certain degree. Not everywhere and not for every category of people, but in the public projection of what seems to be important, the role of religion is kind of put aside a bit. And we need to reaffirm the value and the contribution of religion to the well-being of society. Regarding the role of some expert group within the structure of the UN that have expressed reservations or criticism on the Catholic Church, for example, saying that the Catholic Church has to change its canon law regarding abortion, regarding gay life and marriage. I think this is the position of experts of committee and treaties. They don't represent the United Nations necessarily.
You are listening to In His Majesty's Sacred Service, the Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva.
Also in my first interview with Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic in 2016, shortly after he became the new nuncio in Geneva, I asked him about his first impressions of the UN conference he just moments before attended.
I'm also impressed by the Muslim delegation that starts with the quotation of the Quran. No? It is somehow bringing a sacred environment to a very lay, organized organization, I would say.
Well, so then the question is, why is the Vatican at the United Nations not proclaiming the gospel, beginning their statement with a quote from the Bible, or in the name of Jesus? Archbishop Tomasi in 2014 provided a good explanation.
I see the point that by using the language of human rights and that is common in the United Nations system, we try to reach out to all people, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, people of all persuasions. The language for this common denominator of approach is, in a way, the language of human rights and respect of the nature of the human person. To take the step forward, as our evangelical brothers, for example, insist, and that we should, to a degree, insist, that the message of the gospel and the person of Jesus are a force in itself to ferment society and to lead society to a better type of life and to the prevention of conflict. Religion can be very effective to the extent that it convinces the hearts of people, changes the heart and the conscience of people, and forces them to confront themselves and the behavior that leads to violence.
Here's my book recommendation. The Vatican in the Family of Nations, written by His Excellency Archbishop Silvano M. Tomasi, based on a collection of statements delivered between 2003 and 2015, 12 years, the book provides a new understanding of the social doctrine and actions of the Catholic Church in international law and relations. As an independent voice, Archbishop Tomasi, who was the Apostolic Nuncio to the UN at that time, offers his reflections with the view of prioritizing the common good before confessional interests. In this sense, this book is a unique collection in international literature on the intersection of theology, human rights, and social issues. Many prominent figures such as Kofi Annan and Michael Moller, the ex-UN Geneva chief, had only good things to say about Archbishop Tomasi's book. In my view, a must read. The book was published by Cambridge University Press in 2017, and you find it online where you can buy it. The Vatican in the Family of Nations. Highly recommended.
You are listening to In His Majesty's Sacred Service, the Holy See at the United Nations in Geneva.
Many people are wondering and asking, why is the Church even involved in politics or at the UN? Should the Church not stay out of all of this? Well, one must not forget that the Pope is not only the head of the Catholic Church, but also the head of the Vatican City State. So he is also a head of state. So when he speaks at the UN, either in person or through his diplomats, the Apostolic Nuncios, he speaks as a statesman. And that's why he engages in politics and, of course, participates at the United Nations. A good example is 2015. Pope Francis spoke back then in front of the United Nations in New York on the occasion of the UN's 70th anniversary. This was the fifth time that a pope has visited the UN. Pope Francis said the UN must return to their rules and regulations as proposed by the founding charter of the United Nations.
The experience of these 70 years, since the founding of the United Nations in general, and in particular the experience of these first 15 years of the third millennium, reveal both the effectiveness of the full application of international norms and the ineffectiveness of their lack of enforcement.
Translation of the speech provided by R.T. Ruptly. Thank you. One can say that the Pope is one of the world's most powerful and popular people because of his extensive diplomatic, cultural, and spiritual influence, not only on around 1.3 billion Catholics, but beyond. All right. Now, many people in the world, also certain governments and groups, accuse the United Nations of having a hidden, or maybe not so hidden, agenda. The current nuncio to the UN Geneva, His Excellency Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, with whom we produced and still produce many good interviews about all his good work at the UN Geneva, Nuncio Jurkovic regretted that the UN often seemed to be insensitive to opinions contrary to their own.
What we see certainly is that there is no sensibility for somebody having another opinion. And this is a little bit, so you see that the liberal part of the world is less tolerant to have a different opinion. So in the past we have differently, you know? So you are aggressively attacked if you have different opinion from the mainstream. This is a mainstream, very cultural, strong cultural movement, we all know, in many states, in many places, in many environments. But it should be also ready to confront itself with the other points of view. And certainly, you know, religious organizations, we are not tailoring our points of view according to, opinion of, we have a different system. This is a different sort of value. Values are based on anthropological, philosophical, religious, theological. And also, it is not only the Catholic Church, also other environments have difficulties to present or to resist the, let's say, the pressure that is certainly on. But we certainly request that we need also freedom to present our point of view, which is different from the, how to say, dominating culture that is in the United Nations.
All right, then. I hope that this pilot episode made you curious about this topic, namely the work of the Catholic Church, the Holy See, at the United Nations, and in this case, at the UN in Geneva. So in my next episode, I will dive straight into the subject matter, and that subject matter will be freedom of religion or belief, a very important subject, and how the United Nations handled this subject and what the Holy See, represented by Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, had to say about it. Here a small extract preview of what he had to say at the UN conference.
The Holy See notes with great concern that report presented at the very last moment by the special rapporteur. Particularly unacceptable and offensive are the numerous references that recommend the freedom of religion, belief, and conscientious objection must be surrendered for the promotion of so-called human rights, which certainly do not enjoy consensus, a sort of ideological colonization on the part of some states and international institutions.
Well, I can tell you this, his intervention, his statement, if I may say so, was one of the rare interventions that, in my view, dramatically criticized a UN special rapporteur's report. But we will hear if Archbishop Jurkovic agrees with that assessment or not in our next episode. So, this is it for now. I hope this podcast contributed to provide valuable information and facts about the so very important involvement of the Holy See, not speaking only for the Catholic Church, at the United Nations in Geneva. Thanks for listening, and please tune in to episode number 2 of In His Majesty's Sacred Service. If you have any commentaries or questions, please shoot me an email to Pax Press Agency, one word, paxpressagency@gmail.com. Thank you, Gail L. Pomus, for your creative poster artwork. Thank you, Christoph Martens, for the Bond feeling title music. And thank you, our narrator, Bobby Butler. And certainly thanks to EWTN and CNA for the audio quotes from reports that I produced for them. I'm Christian Peschken. God bless.
This has been a Christian Peschken production.